Governor Walker decides to continue the state's appeal of a lands into trust lawsuit to the disappointment of a local tribe. And the interim police chief in Haines talks about the challenges he's seen in the department. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. After talking in person with tribes, including the Chilkoot Indian Association, Governor Bill Walker has decided to continue the state's fight against allowing Alaska tribes to put lands into trust. Lawyers for the state filed an opening brief Monday appealing a U.S. District Court ruling that would clear a path for Alaska tribes to put lands into trust. Walker's visit to Haines and four other Alaska communities earlier this month marked the first time an Alaska governor had visited in person with tribes specifically to talk about their efforts to put lands into federal trust.
For me, it's a matter of gathering information, and most importantly is to listen to what people have to say. And we've heard some very heartfelt statements about their past, their generation, where they want to go, where they're concerned about their children, their grandchildren. You can't replace that with any amount of reading you do of a legal brief. So,
in 2006, the Chilkoot tribe, along with three other Alaska tribes and one Native individual, sued the Department of Interior. They argued that not allowing Alaska tribes to put lands into trust, which lower 48 tribes are allowed to do, was discriminatory. In 2013, a U.S. District Court agreed with the plaintiffs. The Department of Interior developed new rules to allow Alaska tribes to apply for trust status. But the state of Alaska responded with an appeal. Governor Walker inherited that litigation. He had a deadline of August 24th to decide whether to drop the appeal or continue it. As part of that decision-making process, he visited Haines, Akiachak, Tulisak, Chalkeetsik, and Barrow. Those are the five communities where the plaintiffs in the Lands Into Trust lawsuit are located. Harriet Brulette is tribal administrator for the Chilkoot Indian Association. Earlier this month, she said she was glad Walker met with them about an issue that she feels is extremely important.
This entire valley used to belong to the tribe, and our land base just kept shrinking. And for our tribe, it's more important to hold on to what little we have. We just have so little left of what was originally our homelands. So having our land protected by putting it into trust is very important to us.
This was Brulette's reaction to Walker's decision to continue the appeal.
I am very disappointed, but not surprised. I think that he has a lot of constituents to satisfy, so I imagine that he's going to need to take the time to figure out what is best for all of the constituents. And maybe right now, my idea of what the right thing to do is not the same as his.
Brulette says the Chilkoot tribe will continue the fight for the right to put lands into trust. She says she's hopeful for more discussions with the governor.
I felt very good about his visit to Haines. Disappointed in the outcome, but I felt like he is definitely reaching out and wants to know more about what we're hoping for.
Lawyers for the tribes have a deadline of September 23rd to respond to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. You'll hear more on Walker's decision to continue the state's appeal in Alaska News Nightly at 6:30 tonight. Last week, a critical audit of the Haines Police Department was released to the public. The review said the department suffered from a lack of vision and oversight that left it with problems in need of immediate attention. It also said that previous police chiefs did not lay a solid foundation for a professional department. Current interim police chief Robert Griffiths says he is trying to change that.
It's living up to the challenge that I was advised that I faced.
Griffiths has previously worked in Anchorage and Cordova police departments. He says the Haines Police Department has a widespread reputation in Alaska's law enforcement community.
Well, they know about the retention problem, the turnover issues, the revolving chief's door, so to speak. They knew that there were a few officers here that had gained some notoriety for not being very professional, that they'd been here and established somewhat of a legacy that had to be overcome by newcomers.
Griffiths knows Gregory Russell, the consultant who visited Haines to conduct the audit of the police department. Griffiths says Russell told him he might be a good fit for the interim position. He replaced Bill Musser, who served as police chief for about a year and left the department in May. As far as the results of the audit, nothing caught Griffiths off guard.
Absolutely no surprises whatsoever. Everything he said in there, I had observed personally.
Griffiths says he's been clearing out old files and fixing lapses in evidence handling and jail maintenance. He's working to streamline paperwork and boost morale.
The department had become used to doing it in a way in which they were comfortable with, and that they didn't recognize how much wasted effort was going into that, the time spent to do it that way.
Griffiths is also trying to help mend the relationship between the police and the community. Most of the members of the public who were interviewed as part of the audit expressed disappointment and distrust in the police.
There is a group within the community who will not talk to us because they felt like they were mistreated in the past or that their reports weren't addressed appropriately and that the department doesn't do anything or care.
He says one major challenge so far is working with a short-staffed force. The department used to have four officer positions, not including the chief, but the Haynesboro decided to downsize to three officers because of state funding cuts. Now, out of those three positions, two are filled, and one of those is by a temporary hire.
Part of the reason that the department is in the shape that it's in now is that they have not had consistent staffing to conduct the ongoing training and the detailed investigations that the community expected or that our profession demands.
He says in order to address issues, staffing needs to be taken care of.
How do we resolve all of these problems? Because there's a lot of them. And the way you do it is one step at a time. And the first step is getting people hired.
And it's not just about filling the positions. It's about hiring the right people. Borough Manager Dave Sosa told the Public Safety Commission last week that the department needs to choose wisely when hiring.
And having an individual who will actively seek outside individuals to come in and take a look at the department, to screen it and review it, is vital. There are some individuals who resist that, and we cannot have that.
Griffiths thinks they've found the right people for the two officer jobs. He says there are about 20 applicants, and he recently made offers to two people. One has verbally accepted. Griffiths says he will announce the new hires if and when they pass background checks. He hopes for them to start by October. And then there's the matter of hiring a permanent police chief. The Public Safety Commission is holding a meeting on September 2nd to hear from the community about what they'd like to see in the next chief. Griffiths says he is considering applying for the permanent job, but one thing holding him back is pay. Sosa says he determines compensation for department heads on an individual basis, and it's up to the Borough Assembly to approve a proposed contract. Whoever the next chief is, Griffiths says he or she will have a long way to go to address problems in the department and help improve the reputation of the Haines Police. Haines resident Leah Minch will travel to Juneau early Wednesday morning carrying several pairs of donated extra tough boots. There, she'll meet other activists on the steps of Alaska's Capitol to present the boots to Governor Walker. Here's Minch.
Because we want him to get extra tough and enforce the Boundary Waters Treaty, and we want to see some action.
The Capitol Steps rally coincides with a current visit by senior British Columbia energy and mines officials. The Canadian officials are touring Southeast Alaska this week, meeting with Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott and other Alaskan officials to discuss issues concerning transboundary mines. Minch says another purpose of this week's rally is to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the Mount Polley mine disaster, when a copper mine's tailings dam failed in the Fraser River watershed in British Columbia.
I'm also collecting stories from Southeast Alaskans on why clean water and salmon streams are important to them.
Members of Inside Passage Waterkeeper, Salmon Beyond Borders, and the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council plan to attend Wednesday's rally, set for noon at the Juneau State Capitol. Inside Passage Waterkeeper is the sponsor of the Extra Tough campaign. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.